Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and today I am thrilled because with us we have Lori Ann Rising. Lori Ann is original, authentic, powerful. She's a best-selling author. She's a peace worker, mother, lover, daughter, friend, insightful, flawsome human. And she says she's annoyingly sarcastic, which we will enjoy some of that today, I'm sure. We're very excited to talk with her, and especially about her new bestseller, You Rising, Reclaim Your Life, Live Your Purpose. Lori Ann, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vicki. I'm excited to be here. This is cool.
It is so cool. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about what brought you to the idea of writing a book and affecting people's lives all over the world. How did that come about in your life? How did you rise to that? And what activated that for you?
Well, it was quite a process, actually. I have been a writer since I could hold a pencil, I think, you know. And, like, actually the first time I was ever paid to help somebody with writing, I was about 10 years old and was helping a couple of family members who happened to be entrepreneurs. I started helping them with letters to clients. I started helping them with newsletters, things like that. And so writing has just been something I've done. And I remember at one point, though, I had been doing life coaching and really enjoyed it and had started thinking, you know, if there was a way to get these principles and these tools and simplify them down so that somebody could really make use of them on their own and just, you know, be able to take off and shift their life in an easier way, then I would really love to do that. So much of life coaching can be incredibly expensive. It can be incredibly valuable. It's entirely worth it. But I really recognized, especially at that time, being a parent with young kids, and we had, you know, a budget we had to stick to. And so I thought, you know, gosh, it'd be really neat if this could be more accessible and useful. And it was about the same time I remember sitting down and going through a whole bunch of journals. I think it was like 10 years worth of journals or something like that. And about June, July-ish, almost every single year, there was this idea that would pop up about writing a book as if it was all new. And I sat back and went, there's 10 years of this quote-unquote new idea popping up every year that I should write a book. So I went, well, maybe I should. And so that time I finally got started, basically, and just started working on seeing what I could do, if I could do a whole book. I mean, up to that point, I'd been doing articles and things, but what did a whole book look like? And especially working through the process of taking life coaching, which can be so unique and different for each person, and figuring out a process to walk people through that could be really useful and beneficial and yet simple enough for them to do themselves. So it was quite a process, and I really enjoyed doing it. It was fun.
So, Lori Ann, tell us a little bit about what's inspired you.
Wow. Well, I will tell you that, you know, when I was growing up, my parents, my life situation was one of those where intuition and passion was mostly denied, actually. And like, I remember when I was growing up, my parents telling me that, you know, my life path and most people's life path is that they grow up, they get a job, they hate it. If they're lucky, they get to retire and do something they enjoy someday. You know, it's just like, wow, that just makes adulthood sound so wonderful. And yet, is kind of what I wound up doing. I sort of started out my adult life doing all of the things that I had been taught I should do rather than the things that I was passionate about. Let's see, I was 27 years old, actually, and at that point in time, I was married. My son was 3 years old, and my daughter was 12 days old. When my mom, who was only 49 at the time, went into the hospital with a brain aneurysm. Most people don't survive those. I think the survival rate is about 5 to 10%. And based on her situation, based on all kinds of different factors, they said, you know, if she pulls through this, she'll be in the 5% kind of place. And I remember going down to the hospital, and my daughter's young, so I was nursing at the time, which in the ICU, that gets a little tricky. And talking with the nurse and seeing my mom on a ventilator, they had her in a medicated coma. And next to her, there was a gentleman who came in with the exact same thing on the same day. He wound up passing away within 24 hours. And my mom survived it, survived the whole thing. It's been 15 years now, and she's still alive. But at that time, it was really a wake-up call for me. I mean, I'm sitting there. My mom's 49. I've got two little kids. My career path, I mean, I really enjoyed the people I worked with, but I wasn't enjoying the job itself. I wasn't enjoying my life. You know, there were so many things that were going well, but I just wasn't enjoying things. And I remember the stress of my mom's situation and having my kids so young, 3 and 12 days old. My husband at the time wasn't working, so I was the main provider for the household. I happened to be in real estate at the time as well before the bubble burst. So, and this is early June. So if you know anything about real estate in early June, it's the top of the market. We'd put a house on the market and we'd get 20 offers in a few hours kind of thing. And I was working with my mother-in-law. And so my mom went into the hospital on a Tuesday. My mother-in-law fell and hurt herself that Wednesday. So now I'm running the real estate business by myself with all of these things going on. And then that Thursday, the same week, my husband's father showed up after a 20-year absence in his life out of the blue. So, of course, that's a whole big ball of wax for the family. And I remember that Friday sort of becoming conscious out of sleep and refusing to open my eyes because I didn't want to know what else could happen in 1 week. I'm like, I'm done. I'm just done. But so much of the ripple effects from that really pushed me. They stressed me out. Within a few months, I was at a point where I wasn't eating anymore. Actually, I physically was so stressed, I couldn't eat anymore and was losing weight and the whole thing. And I remember stepping out of the shower one morning and really getting, like, seeing myself, you know, those moments where you just really see yourself. And what went through my mind was, oh my gosh, I'm dying. And there was this other part of me that went, no, this isn't okay. And that was an incredible wake-up call for me to get back in touch with what is this part of me that really wants to enjoy life that I've forgotten about, that I have set aside, that I have squashed down so I could do all these things for everyone. to the point where it was literally killing me to take care of everyone else to that degree. And, you know, what do I do about it? And I thought, gosh, there's got to be some part of me that if I can figure out how to articulate it, it just is. Like, if I know how to articulate my truth in a way that I can use it to make decisions, that I can use it to evaluate opportunities, whether it's a good fit for me or not, all of those things, what would that look like? It took me a few years to work it out. I worked with a life coach for myself so I could readjust my life and get myself back on track and all of those things. But that's what this book became. It's what that thought process became with this book, is that opportunity to really get deeply in touch with who we are, what our truth is, and be able to articulate that and be able to make the choices in our lives that honor who we are so that we can bring joy to a situation and be of even better support to other people while taking care of ourselves at the same time. It's quite a process, you know, when you get to those places in life where you've become disconnected and forgotten who you are. How do you get back? And so that's really what this book is. And it's broken down into really three parts to make it as simple and easy and inviting as possible. I mean, there's some of my own personal stories here. Some of the clients that I've worked with also show up. And it's really a process. It's like the first section is just talking through, you know, how do we answer this question of who am I? And what does it really mean to even just be asking that? And so much of it comes down to reconnecting with and honoring our emotions and how to put words to that and how those emotions are actually indications of what our deepest values and motivations are. So much of our culture implies and pushes women, I think, to put others first to so much of an extreme that we disconnect from our emotions. Like, it's not okay for women to be upset. We have to be peacekeepers types of things. It's like, well, there are ways to work through things that honor our emotions and others, and we need to get back to that because ultimately that's where our choices and our decisions about our life come from. So it's going through that process. And then the second part of the book is the opportunity to do journaling and to really get to that articulation and process through some of those things. It's a very powerful question. There's some meditation practices in there and some exercises, but most of it is really just an opportunity to sit down and answer questions. And it's not the typical stuff. I've worked with several people when I was writing the book and testing the process to get their feedback. And the comments that I received were really eye-opening and how helpful this was for them to become aware, to appreciate where they are in their life, as well as move it forward. And it really gave them the opportunity to get clarity around things that they'd been struggling with for a long time up to that point. So they really had the chance to create vision, mission, and purpose values statement for their life to help guide them forward. The third part of this book is the opportunity to do this with others. There is so much we gain through conversation and connection and community. And so I have actually included in here some guiding points around having a book discussion group, like a book club or something like that. And so there's information and resources on how to do that, as well as information on ways of listening. There's actually three different ways we listen to each other. And so how to identify those and understand them, as well as questions to actually guide a conversation about each chapter and each process without necessarily having to talk about what you were journaling? Because I understand there's the personal piece and then there's the experience of it that you would feel more comfortable. So there's an opportunity to decide really for each individual what they're comfortable sharing while still going through the process as a community together. I've been really conscious in how I've created this to make it as simple and yet effective as possible. And I've actually started setting up some online communities as well. So if somebody is not able to or isn't comfortable with people that they know for whatever reason, sometimes it's as simple as scheduling. We just can't quite get together at the right time too. So there are places though that you can connect online. Information's on my website. I'm creating those online communities too because it is such an important aspect.
You know, that is so beautiful, Lorianne, and you and your book are just a gift to this world.
Well, thank you. It was a process and a pleasure to write, and I am so thrilled to see it getting out in the world and making a difference.
Well, that is terrific, and some of the ways that you've explained yourself to me are that you're a light bringer, a dreamer, you're playfully serious. I love those things. And if you could share a little bit with our listeners about how you came about developing that, because those are wonderful, wonderful characteristics that make life so much easier. How did that happen for you?
Oh, my goodness. I think really it came down to a choice. Life hasn't been easy, I'll put it that way. And there has been so much that has been challenging. In fact, I remember sitting down with a counselor at one point a few years ago where it's like, okay, I really need to work through some stuff. And, you know, those first couple of sessions where they're just really kind of going, okay, why are you here? And what's life about for you? And explaining quite a number of the things that I had gone through and what to do with that. And at one point she looked at me and she said, how are you still sane? Which is a question I still really have not quite figured out how to answer, to be honest. But it's a place really of looking at life, I think, and deciding that, one, I'm here for a reason, or I wouldn't be here, is my assumption. And two, I can either figure out how to improve and make life better and learn to laugh, or I can let this crush me. And there really wasn't anything in between. And I had two little kids, and I thought, you know, there's got to be something better in life than this. So I decided to improve, to just look at life and go, okay, I got to find a smile. I got to find something to be grateful for. I got to just keep on moving forward. And, you know, there were a lot of other people that I had access to, whether it was through books or through my own life coach or through, you know, we have access to videos online and all kinds of things these days. And so I sought out other people who had made it through these things. And I know for me, life coaching was a huge factor in that process as well, which is why I became a life coach and went on from there. But I think ultimately it really comes down to deciding, you know, I can keep things perpetuating where they are, or I can get up and take responsibility for my life and figure it out. So I did. It's an ongoing process, I think, too, once you make that decision, because there's always another layer of opportunity to rise. And so I'm now in that place where I'm always looking for that next opportunity to rise and have more fun and explore more life. So it's just ongoing.
You know, that is so lovely. And coming from that place where you definitely accessed a lot of help and inspiration to get to where you are today, you know, you also say that you're an independent spirit and that you are a planner of spontaneity, which I love that, you know, and you're a fun seeker. And a lot of what you've done for yourself and what you share in your book, which we will get to in a moment, has to do with things people may perceive as being heavier in nature, you know, like mm-hmm. work-oriented. How did you balance the two? How did you incorporate this fun-seeking, independent spirit into all of the work that you've done on yourself?
I think that was part of what kept me sane, actually. I have a propensity to take myself too seriously, so I have to find ways to balance myself out. And one of the things I figured out years ago when my kids were really little and I was doing most of my work from the house, and my husband at the time, sometimes he'd be home doing stuff, other times he'd be out. But what I figured out is if I talked about something about, you know, I have these appointments, I was never questioned. It's like, okay, how can I help with the kids? And we'll make sure you can do that stuff and whatever. But if I talked about needing time for myself, somehow that wasn't as honored. And so I just started making appointments with myself. And all I would tell anybody else is that I have this appointment. And I learned to do that not just at home, but when I was out networking or, you know, making appointments with other professionals and things like that to build relationships. I discovered that even I honored that space differently when I considered it an appointment as opposed to just time for myself, because I think we're just not taught that that's as valuable somehow. But I noticed the more that I gave myself time and space on my own calendar, it really helped tremendously with my mindset, with my ability to just handle daily life, you know, from the little things to the big things. It just really made a tremendous difference to take care of myself. Admittedly, being, you know, that flawsome human, it's just something I keep returning to and have to remind myself of that, you know, by the way, I need to take care of me too, you know, along with everything else. So it really helps. I love going to the beach where I live. We're about an hour and a half or 2 hour drive. And I live in the Pacific Northwest, so it rains here about 9 or 10 months out of the year. I'm known to go to the coast in December when it's rainy and freezing cold just to be at the beach because I love the sound of the ocean. So I would just make an appointment with myself, tell people I had an appointment. I'd be gone all day. And nobody would question anything as long as I was back in time like normal business day and I could go and have whatever I needed at the coast. Sometimes it was just a spontaneous walk or taking pictures or sitting in a cafe or, you know, whatever. But I'd block the time out and it just did wonders for my perspective on everything to do that kind of thing for myself.
That just makes so much sense. So you are a planner of spontaneity.
I think you kind of have to be in today's world. You know?
I love it. Yeah. I really love it. So then along came you rising. Reclaim your life. Live your purpose. Tell us about how this book came about. It's a marvelous book.
Well, thank you. It was really quite a process. I mean, at the time I was getting into life coaching, it wasn't quite yet the full career. So I was doing it on the side while I had a full-time job. My kids were very little at the time. I think my son was in kindergarten. My daughter was still in diapers. And my husband at the time was getting a business off the ground. And so he was understandably quite busy. And yet somehow I just wanted to do this. I couldn't let it go. So it was one of those places where it's like, okay, I guess I will just make time. I'm not going to find time. That's completely unrealistic. So I'm going to make time. And it was literally working through it 5 minutes at a time, 10 minutes at a time on a break. I would carry around a little notebook in my car. So if I was stopped at a stoplight and had an idea, I could jot down enough words to remind myself later, and just really consistently did that as I worked through that process. Of course, I would work with some of my coaching clients on some of it and worked with some of my friends on some of it as well, and it was just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and staying really consistent along the way to birth it, quite literally. I think it actually took about 9 months. So it really was a birthing process in many, many ways. And it was also a process which was interesting to me to notice, since it was the first book that I did. It also was sort of an identity shift and put me really in touch with who I thought I was and how that needed to shift in order to go from, well, I'm just a writer, to I'm an author. There's something different about that at a fundamental level that I had to work through. I wound up using a lot of the coaching skills on myself to work through that process, to keep myself going, to work through the inevitable questions and challenges and roadblocks that came up with trying to do something I didn't know how to do, and all of that. So it was as much a growth opportunity as it was a writing opportunity to do the whole thing.
That is so wonderful. I'm so glad you brought up some of the challenges that you had. If you could elaborate a little bit about that, because we have so many budding writers that are maybe really stuck and, you know, they haven't gotten to the point where you have, where you have not only written a book but a bestseller. Tell us a little bit about how you overcame the challenges. What were they more specifically, and how did that work for you?
Yeah. Well, I know, like I mentioned, the time factor. I know that many other writers I've spoken with, there's this misconception that you have to have huge blocks of time in order to write a book. And I am living proof that's absolutely incorrect. You know, like I said, I literally wrote this book in just a few minutes at a time when I had it. And what I noticed, though, in doing that was, as I found 5 minutes, then I got better at finding 10 minutes. And as I found 10 minutes or made 10 minutes, you know, it's like I brought my awareness to looking for those moments that I could work on it, and I would wind up finding more. And as I was consistent in doing that, then when I did have those big blocks of time, I wasn't expecting, like, you know, Nana would show up to take the kids for a surprise visit for an afternoon, and all of a sudden I'd have 4 hours free. I'd be like, cool. Well, now I knew exactly what to do during that time because I had all these little bits that I was already working on and I could put them all together. Where those times when I had gotten inconsistent and wasn't doing that, I'd get that block of time and most of it would be used for, well, what was I doing and what do I want to work on, as opposed to just getting into it. So what I found is that it's far more about consistently taking small steps more than anything else. The other piece that was really key for me was working through the self-confidence piece. So often that voice in my head was really, you know, who do you think you are to be doing this? It's been done before. There's all these other people that are so much more experienced than you are. What are you thinking? I want to call it the little gremlin in the back of my head. And you know, it was actually something I picked up from my own life coach when I was working with her. I said, you know, okay, that's all fine and good, but give the gremlin and a little cookie and cinnamon his corner and keep working anyway. And so that's literally what I would envision each time. And as I worked through one problem at a time, and most of those were, okay, how do I structure this? How do I break it down? Which idea or concept comes first? What comes next? How do I build it into a cohesive book? You know, and as I solved one problem at a time, I gained confidence because I was figuring out what I had thought was impossible. And so learning that confidence and that courage actually comes either in the process or after the process, when you figure out, oh yeah, I actually just accomplished that. I didn't know that I could, and I did. Okay, cool. That's enough to take the next step now. And I guess just having just enough faith in myself to try. And there were days when I had to decide over and over again, okay, I'll give it one more shot. Okay, I'll just give it one more shot, kind of thing. So it was very much the stubborn side of me kicking in and going, you know, at some point, I mean, obviously I had my journal showing me that I've wanted to write a book for 10 years. So at some point, if I don't write one, I'm going to have that regret. So I might as well just try this and see what happens. And if it works, cool. And if not, at least I can say I finally tried it and I can move on to something else. So I sort of got my mind wrapped around the idea that there really is no lose. I just need to keep trying.
That is so empowering for anyone out there that feels that they may be stuck or a little fearful about going through and really rising to the height. I love the sense of freedom. I value personally freedom probably up there among everything else. You know, freedom and love are two of my greatest values. Sometimes they compete, but, you know, it's very interesting because I think your writing speaks of freedom and it speaks to me that way. But one of the really important things you said as well was the fact that who would ever really admire your story and so forth. And there are people that will never, ever get the message of rising to their greatest unless they hear it from you. And there are other people that may also do something similar, but their story is going to be different enough so it will speak to people. And I think my biggest message is always to get your message out because it's going to touch people that no one else can. All of our messages are unique, and that's what's so wonderful about your book. It's incredibly unique. So tell me what you hope readers will take away from the book.
Well, one of the biggest things for me personally, my driving vision for life, like if I could have my one greatest wish, it would be to live in a world where every single soul has the support and ability to do exactly what they were born and designed to do. So many of us, myself included, at different phases in my life, have really been in places where we had to do what we had to do. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But then sometimes we can get trapped there and wind up thinking that's what life is. I mean, I grew up in a household where I was told, here's how life is going to work. You're going to grow up, you're going to get a job that you hate, and if you're lucky, you'll get to retire and do something you enjoy. And that was my parents' paradigm of the world and how life worked. And I remember as a kid going, wow, that sucks. You know, like I just am so not interested in that life. And yet I know a lot of adults who wind up in that place without realizing it. Maybe they started a job that was great at the beginning, but then it's lost something for them. And how cool would it be if every person was really passionate about what they were doing? I mean, think about how that would shift customer service, how that would shift experiences and home life and all of those things. So what I really want with my book is to help someone begin to make that shift for themselves. So much of it is really getting to the core of being able to articulate and wrap words around what is that feeling? What is that thing gnawing at me? Because there's so much about how our brains work. It's difficult to process or resolve something unless we have language for it. And so getting to that language is really one of the first steps to understanding what then can we do with that. So that's part of the book itself is actually, okay, getting to that language, providing words for these things, as well as the tools to then begin to decide what to do with it now that we know what it is. And ultimately getting to the place where you can create a vision, mission, and value statement for your personal life. Many people do that kind of thing for a business or for their work, or they set goals to achieve something specific, which is all really wonderful and valuable tools. But this is more about really getting down to what makes you tick. What brings your light out? What sets your heart and soul on fire? What is that that if you work your entire life on it will be really fulfilling for you? And maybe it's a volunteer thing. It doesn't have to be your career. Maybe you can blend them together, but whatever it is, to live in a world where there are more and more people who are walking through life lit up, on fire, and sharing their light just sounds amazing to me. And so if I can help spark some of those lights, that's what I want to do.
I really love that. So I have a question to ask you, and I think it's way too premature, but if you were looking at your life and how the work that you're doing, which is amazing, the book, which is incredible, if you were looking at that as how you might affect the world, what would that look like for you?
How I might affect the world. It's difficult to quantify because for me, it's really that place of sparking that internal light for each individual. And the more lights that are sparked, the more joy there is and the more passion there is. And as that individual person has that, they become a better role model. They become someone who has better relationships. And that has a ripple effect. It affects our relationships with our children, our spouses, our friends, our coworkers. How we feel about ourselves and our life really matters. There's studies now that show our emotions actually create a physical energy field that extends 10 feet out from our body in every direction. So we have an impact on our world just based on how we're feeling. People pick that up. We pass it around. So the ability to be able to tap into that, to use that awareness of our own selves to improve our lives. I mean, when we're feeling bad in some way, it's our heart and soul trying to tell us something needs to shift or to be expressed or something along those lines. And I call that piece of us our wise one within, W-O-W. So it's getting to that wow life and living from that place of really having a good relationship with that wise one within, so that when things feel off, we can address them more quickly. When they feel on, they really feel on, and every part of our life is magnified in a positive way from that. And so hopefully with enough people who have the opportunity to live from that place and affect the world from that kind of place, you have more communities working together. You have more problems being solved. There's a lot that can come from that. I think it's a place where we find internal peace and help start bringing peace about in other ways with other people as well. And so as far as that can expand, I would love to see that expand.
And all I can say, Lorianne, is wow. I mean, the world of wow. That is so unbelievably amazing. And time with you has just flown by. So I know that everyone can get your book at You Rising, Reclaim Your Life, Live Your Purpose. But also, if they would like to connect with you, do you also have a website or someplace where they could do that?
I do. My website is my name. It's LorianneRising.com. I also have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/LorianneRising, and would love to connect with people. And actually, on my website, if it's of interest, a great way to connect and get additional updates and things, I actually offer a 52 weeks of empowering questions. It's just a little short email, comes once a week. It's a great way to start kind of reprogramming your brain to answer the questions you really want it to answer. Because the brain at a neurological level can't not answer a question. So if we're asking questions like, well, why am I so stupid or why did I screw up? Well, you're going to find the answer because that's what the brain is going to work on. So when we shift our questions, we can start shifting our life. So that 52 weeks of empowering questions is available on my website at LorianneRising.com. And there's some information about even a free coaching program that I'm offering as well. It's just a 5-day sort of jump start based on the book that people can check into.
Lorianne, thank you so much, because that is so unbelievably generous of you. And we really appreciate the generosity of your time and your contribution today with so much great, great information and inspiration. So thank you so much for being here.
And thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
And for those of you out there that would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.